1971. Everyone else, 1 Peter chapter 1. And we will begin today in verse 3. If you found it, if you're able to, please stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word. Please follow along as I read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have. Again, please quiet our hearts and our minds of anything else happening around the world. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to focus on your word, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to speak the truth in love. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Theme verse for the month is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now remember, abide means to stay in place, to endure, and we need faith and love, but we also need hope. It is necessary for the Christian life. Now today I'm going to be asking three questions to better help us understand what the meaning of hope is and how it is important in our lives. So question number one, what is hope? What is hope? Now, general definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Now today we say, I hope the game doesn't get rained out. I hope I get the day off that I want. I hope someone gives me a blue truck. Now, these are all general hopes. I have a feeling of expectation and a desire for it to happen, although I don't have any grounding behind it. I just hope it happens. Now, I hope the game doesn't get rained out because I'd like to watch it. I am not confident that it won't get rained out because I have no control over the forecast. The weather will do whatever the weather is going to do. But I don't want it to happen, therefore, I hope. I hope I get the day off, regardless of whether or not I have any days off that I can bank on. I just hope it happens because I like a reprieve from my job or from school. Now, on a side note, I read this week that no longer in New York will schools have snow days, because now they have learned that kids can work from home on the computer. So even with the blizzards that come, kids are stuck still going to school. Now, when I was growing up in Michigan, the expectation of snow during the week, we were all got very excited. There was a hope that was within us that school would get canceled. And now those hopes, unfortunately, are lost. So now I hope that someone walks up to me and as a gift hands me the keys to a fully loaded blue F-150 Raptor that is not stolen. Now I have absolutely no control whatsoever of that happening. That's why it's a hope. In fact, it's more than a hope. It's a stretched hope, maybe more we would say of a dream. Now, none of these things represent genuine hope. A genuine hope requires you to put your hope and trust in something or someone that you can be assured will take care of you. I have no hope in the weather because it always changes. However, I can have hope in the one that controls the weather. I have no hope in being given a day off, but I can put my hope in the one that takes care of all of my needs and supplies them as I need them. I can daydream of outlandish possibilities, but those things that come from God do not fulfill our dreams and our fantasies. They fulfill our genuine needs. Now, real, genuine hope is a firm assurance about things that are unseen and still in the future. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25 says, "For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Now, we were saved in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We are confident that he has the ability to save us. And we put our faith and trust in that. We have the hope that we will be able to see him soon. We eagerly wait for him. Now, this perseverance is patience. It is steadfast endurance. We are waiting eagerly for the one that we put our hope and trust in. And we have been studying the book of Revelation where Jesus comes and judges the world righteously. We have hope that Jesus will return as he promised, that he will fulfill his promises, that he will judge the world righteously. Now, for the unbeliever, there are times when they feel hopeless because they have feelings of despair. They have no one to place their hope into. These feelings represent the void that is in them, the God-sized hole that can only be filled by the love and understanding of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes the believer has feelings of hopelessness, but that is only when they take their eyes off of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we are left in despair, riding the stormy waves of life. And in order for us to have real, genuine hope, we must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, on the one that provides that hope. Question number two is, where does hope reside? Where does it exist? Hope for the unsaved has little to rely on. There's little to no grounding. There's no assurance that anything that they hope in will come to pass. However, for the believer, it's different. We place our hope in one that we are assured can deliver. For the believer, our expression changes from "I hope" to "my hope." My hope is in the Lord. My hope is Jesus. We go from a chance to an assurance. God and his word give us comfort and hope, whereas prior to our salvation, we had no hope. Real, genuine hope, also known as Christian hope, resides in the believer. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now we have a God of hope. We are filled with joy and peace Now, this joy is when we delight in the anticipation in seeing our hope fulfilled. This allows us to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the New Testament word for hope expresses an anticipation and a confident expectation that what God has promised will take place. It is expecting God to accomplish His plans and purposes in our lives, as revealed in His Word, even when it seems impossible. Hope is directly linked to both faith and trust that are a part of the believer's life. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day." Now consider what Paul says. "I know who I put my trust in, and am persuaded that He is able to keep His promises." Now this is genuine hope in the life of the believer. Question number three is, what does hope do for me? What does hope do for me? Let's look back at our text starting in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, according to John chapter 3, verse 16, God gave His only Son through His abundant mercy in order to give us hope. We were stuck in our hopelessness without a way to pay for our sins, and God mercifully provided His one and only Son, who died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead through the power of God 3 days later. Now notice the text says, living hope. What is living hope? Now the Apostle Peter is trying to give us a description of the Christian hope. And it is a hope that lives on. It is a hope that is alive and is before us. Not something small that we have little trust in, that we hide away in a box or in a book of memories. Our living hope is Jesus Christ and the salvation that He provides and the promises that He always follows through with. Our living hope is active and is right in front of us, guiding us forward. It is exciting and it is rewarding. Now let's continue to look at this living hope. Again, in verse 3, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Our inheritance for putting our faith, trust, and hope in Jesus Christ is heaven. It is the new earth. It is ruling side by side with Jesus Christ. And what we do on this earth will impact what we have in heaven. Even the work we do for the Lord. What we do for the Lord has a great opportunity to leave a lasting legacy and impact on God's kingdom. Now, if we do nothing for the Lord, there will be nothing waiting for us on the other side. God is keeping our inheritance safe for us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now the treasures that we earn in heaven are so much greater than what we have here on earth. And their value is held. It does not go down based on the dollar amount and such. The more that we honor God and obey Him, the more that He provides for us, and this inheritance is waiting for us, undefiled. Now, as a side note, I have heard from plenty of people over the years that they are not going to care whether or not they have treasure in heaven. After all, they're not going to have any worries, they're not going to have any cares, they're not going to have any aches or pains. They're going to be in heaven with Jesus, so why does it matter? It matters because in most of the times that I've heard this context, it circles around the unfaithfulness of people here on earth. People say, "I don't want to have to go to church. I don't think going to church has anything to do with my salvation. I don't want to have to serve God. I don't want to have to lay things aside in order to do things for God. But it's okay, because I'll be satisfied in heaven with just getting in. And at first it seems noble to hear those words that I'll be satisfied with just Jesus. But looking at it with the background of when we're unfaithful here on earth is when we have no treasure in heaven. We may not mind it so much when we get there. Those around us would see that we were unfaithful on earth. We may not have much, but we'll have Jesus. I remember attending a church years ago of about 300 people. And out of those 300 people, there were about 50 people total that did all the teaching in the church, that did all the evangelism, that you could tell actually authentically cared about reaching people and helping people. 50 out of 300. 50 were storing up treasures in heaven. Now, God in his abundant and rich mercy not only provides for us when we leave this earth, but he continues to reward us for our faithfulness to him. Those that do not care about being faithful to God will not see his faithfulness. Where there is no faithfulness, there is no love, there is no faith, there is no trust. Where there is no faith on our side, there is no work on God's side to provide for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now look with me at verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, your faith, your genuine faith, is more precious than gold. Your faith in God means more to God than gold. Now think about it for a moment. The greatest gift that we can give back to God is not money. Being faithful to him. That's all that God wants for us. These genuine acts of faith, trust, and hope in our great Lord is our expression of love. Now, we are told here in verse 6 that we need to rejoice even through the hardships and trials of life. These are the trials that God allows for the purpose of drawing us closer to him and building a more meaningful relationship with him. It builds on our hope and secures it the more that we put our faith and trust in the Lord. Look with me at verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now the genuineness of our faith is directly connected to our hope. Our faith remains genuine because of the hope that we have in God fulfilling his promises. We have not seen Jesus Christ yet, but we completely trust that we will see him soon because of our hope in him. We rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory as a result of the living hope that we see before us. Now, lately, more and more I find myself homesick. And more as this country is becoming less unified and as we see more people drawing in and wanting sin 24/7 instead of looking at Christ, I find myself longing to be home. But when I think of where home is, it's not a place here on the map on earth. It's in heaven with Jesus Christ, with my Lord. I long to be with my Lord. I long to be out of the ship on the stormy waves of life and be right there instead with my Savior. My hope is in the Lord, but I'm stuck here on earth as long as he has me here. I know I need to do it. Work with all of my might, with a full heart, faith, trust, and hope in him while he has me serving here on this earth. And there are many Christians today that long for a big house and money and lots of different things that they long for that will they think will bring them happiness. But that's not a living hope. That's a fleeting hope. Only Jesus Christ can give us the true hope. Our hope should be in the Lord. Our hope should be in growing in the Lord and knowing the Lord more. Everything else, he takes care of. Everything else, he allows to fall into place in his perfect timing. As long as we love him and we're serving him to our best capable way, we need to put our hope in the Lord. So what does hope do for me? Hope makes me long to see Christ. And we see in verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 1, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. In other words, the Lord spoke through the writers of the New Testament. And as the New Testament searched for the truth up for themselves and the truth of Christ and his return, they realized that their writings were not for them. Their writings were not even for their own generation. But their writings were for future generations who would come behind them, who would search for God, who would want to know how to have that hope, that faith, that trust, that peace in the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? Who was faithful in your past that leads you to where you are today? Who was faithful that allows you today to know Christ or to be in church? Our faithfulness is not just about ourselves. God uses our faithfulness to be a help and blessing to others. Now, because of that, look with me at verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, for the believer, our goal in life shouldn't be getting a great job. It shouldn't be making lots of money, having a nice house, and so on. It should be Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our living hope is Jesus Christ. But we do not just hope his way from time to time. We seek to know him and live for him every day. What does hope do for me? My hope drives me to be more like Christ. Now notice in verse 13 it says, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now what does hope do for me? My hope allows me to rest in God's grace. It allows us to trust that his way is perfect over our own. We do not need to worry. We simply need to wait on him. Now notice it says here, rest your hope fully. In other words, don't make room for other hopes in your life. How often we recognize God's holy word and we see the truth of it, but we still have a small hope in the back of our mind that God will still approve our disobedience. In essence, we hold on to this sin. And we're like, I know that the Bible says that I shouldn't be doing this. But I have this hope that if I pray about it, God will allow it. Or even that God will bless it. That is not a genuine hope. That is not a hope founded in God's word. Look with me at verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, What does hope do for me? My hope helps me to be obedient to the Lord. It helps us to give up our sins, our former lusts, and instead rest in God's truths. Look with me at verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. What does hope do for me? My hope helps me to be more holy. Holiness is connected to our hope. It should be the goal for the Christian as we work to be more like Christ. That will come in the form of holiness. Look with me at verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now, God judges righteously not based on a whim or a feeling, but based on what we do with our lives. As we live on earth, we should do so earnestly, seeking to know him more and live more like him. We have a time limit here. Don't waste it. Now, notice in this text here, in the last couple words, it says your stay here. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here. It's like when you go on vacation and you go up to the hotel clerk and they say, I hope you enjoy your stay here. You always know that it's a short amount of time. Here, Peter is saying, hey, you have a limited amount of time here on earth. Don't waste it. Use it for the Lord. Look with me at verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we were redeemed through Christ's blood. He made the sacrifice for us. It is only reasonable that we sacrifice for him. He gives us hope. Without God, we would have no hope. Look with me at verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, being faithful to God, placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and keeping our hope in the Lord takes determination. It takes courage. It takes perseverance. Both faith and hope should drive us to be more like Christ. And in doing so, we should seek holiness. Holiness these days takes great effort, because we cannot be conformed to this world. As we all know, it is so easy to fall into that trap. We see Christians all the time conforming to this world. Our hope is a daily experience. It is directly connected to our salvation. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our daily experience with God should be one filled with hope, a confident expectancy of what is to come. We should be looking forward to God fulfilling his promises in our lives. And what does hope do for me? My hope reveals Christ in my life and also to others. It reveals Christ to me and it reveals Christ to others. There are times in life that we need to preach to ourselves the truth that is within us. Sometimes we just need to get up in the morning, look ourselves in the mirror, and just preach to ourselves. We know that we have hidden a hope within us. And we look at all the things in this world, I'll tell you what, I've been more and more shutting off all of the social media, everything that you can see on TV, because you, although in some cases you do hear from people, their hearts and what's going on and so on in their lives, there is so much more discouragement out there than there is encouragement. I go right to the Bible. I go to my Bible when I want to find encouragement. I'll shut the social media off. I go to my Bible instead. I know there's a lot of conservative talk shows. There's a lot of Christian, you know, talk shows and podcasts and stuff that can be encouraging. But a lot of times even those start pulling you down with thinking about all the things that are going on in the world and what's not right and so on. And I have to push those things aside. I have to shut them off, go back to God's word. God's word is always there as an encouragement. And I need to remember that Jesus Christ gives me hope. That Jesus Christ is my hope. Without him, I'm nothing. Now, there are those who, when talking about their hope, do not really believe it. We see this sometimes even in immature believers. Those who have a faith in God but cannot rest in him no matter what. They always have to be in control. They cannot let go of their lives and let God have control. They are always pushing someone or something to get what they want out of the situation. Now, unbelievers, do not see the sacrificial and loving Jesus Christ of the Bible through the lives of these kinds of believers. They do not see real and genuine hope. In fact, most of the time, they simply do not want to be around these kinds of believers, which is not what God envisioned for his people. Real, genuine Christian hope will shine from a believer's response in everything about life. That is a mature response. And in these believers, hope is seen. Hope is desired. And that same hope is sought after. Be the believer that God has called you to be. Let the Lord do a change and a work in your heart. Consider his truths. Consider his wants for your life over your own. Instead of trying to control what you want to do, instead rest. We're called to be still, to be faithful to the Lord, and let him do the work in our lives as he makes us ready for that work. Don't push off Jesus Christ. Seek him for your hope today. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can have hope in you today. We thank you, Lord, that through your power that you came and sacrificed many years here on earth, died on the cross for our sins through the power of God, you were raised again, and that now you sit next to God on his throne. And Lord, you help us. We thank you that you've broken the chains of sin so that we're no longer subjected to sin. We don't have to sin every day. Lord, we thank you that we can live holy lives, that we can put our faith and our trust and have real, genuine hope in you. Help us, Lord, to live by your strength. Help us, Lord, to walk the way that you want us to walk. Help us to seek your will for our lives. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to see your word come to light in our lives. Lord, you are our hope. You are the light and the life of our lives. You are our living hope. Let us not forget that. Lord, help us to rest in you. Help us not to try to control our own lives and choose what it is that we want, but instead follow you obediently. Do what you've called us to do and let you take care of our needs. Lord, we thank you that we can put our hope and faith in you today. I pray that we would not forget that. I pray that this week that our faith and our foundation of trust would grow even stronger, that we would have a stronger hope in you. From the scripture that we've learned today. In your name I pray these things. Amen.